Okay, well, seems a long time ago, but at the end of last year, before the kind of Christmas season, we were looking at the story of Abram. We haven't quite finished it yet, so we're going to return there this morning and over the next couple of weeks. So we're reading this morning, we're just where we left off in Genesis chapter 21, reading particularly from verse 22. 21, just to remind you, 21 begins with the fulfillment of that promise that took about 20 years, the promise of a child to Abram, to Sarah, in their old age. And that's the beginning of the chapter. The second part of the chapter is about the sending away of Ishmael, you remember, which had been kind of Abram's and Sarah's idea to have a child through Hagar, which wasn't, of course, God's idea. So Ishmael is gone. And now a character that Abram's met before and deceived before, Abimelech, one of the local kings, he reappears on the scene. So here we are, Genesis 21, verse 22. Let's listen together to God's word. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abram, "God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness that I have shown to you." And Abram said, "I swear it." Then Abram complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, "I don't know who's done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today." And so Abram brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abram set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abram, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you have set apart by themselves?" He replied, "Accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well." And so that place was called Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. And after the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abram planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abram stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
So we are going on with our series on Abraham. Like we have heard, Genesis 21 today, from verse 22 to 34. Some of you might know that from Tuesday to Thursday this past week, myself and a few folks from here managed to attend a fellowship conference for people who are involved in ministering God's word. At that conference, there was a table where Christian Focus Publication were selling books. When I got to that table, my eyes were caught by a book entitled, "If Christianity is so good, why are Christians so bad? If Christianity is so good, why are Christians so bad?" So I knew obviously that I was going to buy that book because it would help me to defend my faith. It promised to help me to defend my faith. And also because I knew I was going to talk about what I had learned from the passage in Genesis 21, verse 22 to 34. I learned that the story in this section of Genesis seems to be asking that question. If Christianity is so good, why are Christians so bad? If your God is good, why are you bad? If your God is good, why are you a mixed witness? Sometimes you are good, sometimes you are bad. So Abimelech was like saying to Abraham, you have a good, faithful, loving, and powerful God, but why are you known for false dealings? Why are you known for lying? Why are you known for deception? That reputation of deception and lying makes you look like the devil instead of looking like your God. So as Christians, God has given us, has chosen us to bear his name. But sometimes we are not the greatest name bearers. Our God can be described by adjectives like God is righteous, God is holy, God is merciful, and so on. But we also get a better understanding by studying the nouns that are used to characterize him. God is spirit, God is one, and God is love. So the world expects us to be like our God who is love. That is the noun that we are going to concentrate on, a noun that describes our God. Our God is love. The world expects to see love, the God kind of love in us. While there are many Christians who have lived a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a sad reality that many people look at us and think poorly of our God. Christians have a reputation of self-righteousness, gossiping, greed, self-centeredness that influences many people beliefs about God. But if we are to be Christ's ambassadors on this earth, we should imitate Christ to the world. We should be like our God. So how do we get to be like our God? Studying the story of Abraham reveals to us how one can become, or one can end up being like his or her God. This final section of Genesis 21 shows that we can be God's effective ambassadors if we stay in his presence. Abimelech said to Abraham, God is obviously with you to help you in everything you do. The psalmist also knew that the presence of God will help us to walk in righteousness. Psalms 23 verse 3 says, God leads me, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own reputation, or for his name's sake, or giving honor to his name. So Abimelech confirmed that Abraham was in God's presence, and it helped him to know that God is indeed love. God is love. He got to know that because he was always in God's presence. He got to know the love of God. He got to know God as love. So he, step by step, bit slowly, he was becoming like his God. At this stage where we are in the story of Abraham, we find that his faith had developed. He was now ready to take even the next test that we are going to see in the next chapter. He had developed. he had developed because he had stayed in God's presence long enough, and he had greater and greater revelation of God's love. Now, according to Galatians 5, verse 6, faith works through love. A revelation of God's love is the enabling environment for faith to work. We know that Abraham became the father of faith, the father of all those who would believe, because he stayed long enough in God's presence, and slowly he became like God, because his faith was developing in the environment of God's love. The word of God also says, faith comes by hearing the message. Faith comes by hearing God's word. It comes by hearing the message about God's love. So in his presence, we are always getting revelations about how God loves us. We have been following the story of Abraham. Abraham developed continually, because he was always hearing God's message of love upon his life. His story begins in Genesis 12, with God expressing his love for him when he was still an idol worshiper in Ur, by saying, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That was love. That was choosing an idolater from amongst his own people, with him having done nothing to deserve that. He was just chosen by God. So he experienced God's love message. That was a message of an unconditional love that chooses a sinner and overwhelms him with love. So his faith journey started from there, because faith comes by hearing the word of God's love, and it works by love. Faith works by love. It comes by hearing God's word, which is always a message of love, and it works within that environment of love. So each time when we struggle to believe that God's promises to us will come to pass, that is called unbelief. But the root of that unbelief is lack of a revelation of God's love. The revelation of God's love to us is the driving force behind our faith. So later on in the Old Testament, the faith of the people of God was supposed to be based on God's acts of love. God would always remind them that, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. That was the act of love that was supposed that they were supposed to reflect upon, so that their faith would remain grounded as long as they remembered that God loved them. In the New Testament, it is the Christ event where we hear Paul saying, this is a faithful saying and worth of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So, in the New Testament, a greater and greater revelation of how God loved us through Christ is the environment in which our faith should work and develop and grow. We should continually come and listen to the message of God's love. We should read the message of God's love in the Bible, so that our faith continuously grows, as did the faith of Abraham, our father. If our knowledge of God's love towards us is removed, or if it diminishes, then our faith ceases to be what it's supposed to be. So each time when we find ourselves worried, each time when we are stressed, each time when we are anxious, or when we are in any other confusion, the problem is that we would have forgotten how God loves us. You just need to remember how God loves you and all the stress goes. You just need to remember how God loves you and all the anxiety goes. We should continuously revisit God's acts of love for us so that we are never stressed. So if our awareness of God's love towards us, if it diminishes, our faith also fails. So we should always seek a greater revelation of God's love for us. With a greater revelation of God's love for us, faith works naturally. So we should not let circumstances blind us to God's love. When we are blinded of God's love, faith will not work, because faith works by love. In Abraham's journey with God, he had moments when he would lose the awareness of God's love and care. We find him in Egypt, lying about the identity of Sarah, his wife, saying, "Sarah is my sister," thereby putting God's plan in danger. When he lost awareness of God's love and care upon his life, or when we lose that awareness ourselves, we immediately experience insecurity in the face of threats. The environment that we live in is very threatening. What only keeps us secure is our awareness that we have a loving God who cares for us. When we lose that awareness, we immediately experience insecurity in the face of threats. That insecurity often leads us to try to take our security into our own hands, either by fight or by flight. We have had people who were arrested because they took the law into their own hands. Now, if we lose an awareness of God's love towards us, we feel insecure in the face of threats. So we try to provide security for ourselves, like what Abraham did in Egypt and in Gera later on in his encounter with Abimelech. He took security into his own hands and said to Sarah, "You should say I am your brother. You should say you are my sister." They were trying to protect themselves because they had forgotten that God cares for them. God loves them. So they tried to put security into their own hands. By so doing, they were endangering God's plan, the promise of the seed, the promise of the seed of the promise was under threat because of that insecurity. So Abraham did that before Pharaoh and Abimelech, and the lives of Pharaoh and Abimelech were under threat. The life of Sarah was under threat. Abraham's marriage was under threat. So an insecure life leads us to hating other people. It's a life that is no longer aware of God's love, and it is a danger to ourselves and to others and the society at large. But when we are aware that God is with us and he cares for us, we can live an honest life. We will not deal with others falsely. We become the kind of people who keep their word. We become promise keepers like our God. God's love endured all the failures of Abraham. He was with him in Egypt, and manifested himself powerfully. He was with Abraham when his faith failed before Abimelech. So Abraham's faith continued to grow as he continuously got greater and greater revelations of God's love in his life. God was with him even when he tried to force God's promises into a reality through sleeping with his slave to get a son. God showed his love by ratifying the issue of Ishmael and promised to protect and care for him, though he was not the son of the promise. So in today's passage, Abimelech comes or visits Abraham with his army general, Phicol. He makes a special confirmation about God's love to Abraham. He said, God is obviously with you, helping you in everything that you do. This was, in other words, saying God loves you. He does not leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has been with you every time, everywhere. In whatever you did, in whatever you have been doing, he was always with you. He is with you, helping you in everything that you do. Even when your faith fails, even in those moments when your faith failed, he was with you. And Abraham never asked why Abimelech was saying that. He knew that this pagan king was right. Abraham had experienced God's love long enough that his faith had really developed. He knew that God was with him in everything he did. He knew that he was with him even that moment when he was deceiving Pharaoh in Egypt. Instead of being punished because of what he did in Egypt, he was rewarded with wealth. He failed again in Gerar before Abimelech, and God helped him out again with spiritual and material rewards. By this time of Abimelech's visit, now in the last section of Genesis 21, God had eventually fulfilled the promise of a son by giving him and Sarah a miracle baby. So Abimelech was right. Abimelech was actually saying, you have a loving and powerful God who is always with you, but you are not like your God. You have a bad reputation. You are known for deceiving kings. You deceived Pharaoh and you deceived me. Your life is a mixed witness. You have a powerful and loving God who gave you victory when you went into battle to rescue Lot. I saw your God in a dream when you lied to me about your wife. You are a dangerous person if you remain a deceiver like that. I expect you to show loving kindness like your God. So Abimelech was saying, we decided to come and see you so that you can swear that you will not deal falsely with me, with my children, or with my children now, or with my future generations. He said, promise to treat me with kindness. It's very difficult to live with a lying neighbor. It's very difficult. Lying is a very dangerous characteristic. One of my village heads in Zimbabwe actually said, I can stay with a witch rather than staying with a liar. A liar is very dangerous. So this is why Abimelech had to take an army general to say, let's go and see this guy. It seems like he is a very big God, but he himself is not like his God. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. So they came and told Abraham that you have a very big God, a good God, but you should be like him. Promise that you will not lie to us again. Abraham did not say much. He simply said, I swear. At this point, Abraham had been transformed from a deceiver to a promise keeper. He was now just like his God. He was now ready to take the next steps, the next test of sacrificing his only son, like we will see in the next chapter. Abraham is no longer afraid of Abimelech. After agreeing to swear about a relationship characterized by loving kindness, he frankly brings in the issue of a well that he had dug, which was later taken by Abimelech's servants. Abimelech says, when the issue of the well was mentioned, Abimelech said, here you go again. I've never heard about that issue of the well. You never told me about it. It may be that you are lying again to me. Abraham does not say much to defend himself again. He quickly provides animals for a covenant of loving kindness. Then he also adds 7 lambs as a witness that the well was his. So Abimelech and his general were satisfied and they went back to their place. The Bible says Abraham then planted a tree and called the name of the eternal, called the name of the eternal God. He worshipped God and called God with a new name. He called him Jehovah El Olam, which means you are God, you are the eternal God. So we have no time to look at all the issues that came out of that covenant ritual that took place. But what I wanted to emphasize this morning is the request of Abimelech. He requested to Abraham that you should not do falsely with me, with my children, or with my future generations, but you should deal with me in loving kindness. That will best reveal the nature of your God. Because God had been showing loving kindness to Abraham. And the Hebrew word translated loving kindness is called chesed. So the theme of our sermon today is no false dealings, but only chesed. You should slowly get to learn a few words of these biblical languages. Chesed is the word for love in Hebrew, and agape is the God kind of love in the New Testament in Greek. So Abimelech came to ask for a relationship of chesed, a relationship of loving kindness. He came to ask for a covenant of loving kindness. Chesed is a great word in the story of redemption. It appears everywhere in the Old Testament. It is generally translated loving kindness, or mercy, or steadfast love, or affection. But it contains all those concepts in a single and beautiful word, chesed. So Abimelech appeals to his own actions towards Abraham, saying, I have been showing chesed to you. So that is the picture of what I want our relationship to look like. He said, you should retain the chesed, the loving kindness that I have been showing you. But it was actually God who had been showing chesed to Abraham. Chesed means faithful love in action, in which Abraham's faith worked and grew. God showed him faithful love. God showed Abraham faithful love in action. And chesed also means loyal love, loyalty to a covenant. He said his persistent and unconditional tenderness, kindness and mercy, and such kind of love transformed Abraham from a deceiver to a real father of faith. So Chesed is a relationship in which God seeks after human beings with love and mercy. It is not merely love, but loyal love. It is not merely kindness, but dependable kindness. It's not merely affection, but affection that has committed itself. So Abimelech came for that. He did not come for wealth or any other gifts that Abraham could give. He said, "You are God's pilgrim in this land. Please spread the grace, spread chesed, spread loving kindness." We, like Abraham, live as pilgrims in this land, and we are ambassadors for Christ. God has shown chesed to us, that when we were still sinners, he gave us Jesus Christ. So the world is expecting us to show such unconditional love to whoever we interact with in this world. We must behave respectfully to the people who are receiving our message. We should know that we are watched for what we do. We should understand that our first allegiance is to God. Therefore, we should stand firm in our faith. An ambassador can also negotiate agreements, meet with foreign leaders, and even play the part of a peacemaker when trouble arises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul refers to Christians as ambassadors of Christ. We are representatives of God, therefore we must be like our God. We have an important assignment to showcase Christ and deliver his message so that others can know him. We should showcase love. We should keep reflecting upon God's acts of love so that we continue to get greater and greater revelations of his love. Then we can love others. We can conclude by looking at what John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The word of God says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let us pray. Our Lord God, on our own we are weak, but you are almighty. You guide us in the path of righteousness for your own reputation. Help us to represent you well, to lead others to the cross, where they will come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, who is now and forever the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.